After a few months at home, I went down into Sussex to Brighton and Lewes and a few other places with my begging case, and there I saw the tender mercies of God going before me and opening the door as freely and as pleasantly as in London. Oh, how my soul was melted down with gratitude to God again and again, to see the lovers of truth in those parts cheerfully communicate to our necessities so freely and so liberally, and to one so worthless and undeserving of the least of all mercies. If I recollect aright, I was a month or 5 weeks amongst them, and the sum I collected at Brighton, Lewes, and a few other places round amounted to £150. Oh, what gratitude did I feel to God as the great fountain of every blessing, and to the people as instruments in communicating. It was most cheerfully and freely given, and if I recollect aright, there was but one person amongst all that I called on with my begging case either at Brighton or Lewes that denied me. Oh, how preciously did the blessed text come again into my soul. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. My very soul was humbled at his feet, and could not find words to exalt him high enough. Oh, how my soul went out to the Lord for his blessing to be poured out upon the people that had so liberally communicated. My poor soul begged that a hundredfold of blessings might be poured into their hearts, and I hope I never can forget their kindness, which has been very great to poor worthless me, and for many years and to this day they are near and dear to my soul, though the grand adversary, the devil, that is constantly going about seeking whom he may devour, has been suffered to work up prejudice in the hearts of some of God's dear children, that they cannot go to see each other as brethren. How grievous it is when the devil gets in amongst brethren. He is sure to represent them to each other as nothing but hypocrites, and the very man that we have received into our hearts, and who has been testified again and again to us that he is in our heart to live and die with, when the devil is suffered to work in our hearts, how he can paint him out as nothing but a whitewashed hypocrite. Oh, what a mercy it is to be preserved in love and the fear of the Lord. For love worketh no ill to his neighbor, much more to a brother or sister. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and can never produce anger, wrath, or malice. But I have many times blessed and thanked the Lord that he has so enabled me that I have been helped to act with a good conscience in the sight of God and man. Whatever frowns or hard speeches I have had to endure, I thank my God that I have been enabled not to return them back again, for I know by sorrowful experience that if left to the devil and my own nature, I would plunge into everything that is hateful, so that I have no stone to throw at either men or devils. But my soul has them still in sweet remembrance, and I am not destitute of times when I can pray for the best of blessings to rest upon them, and my soul begs that whatever may take place, I may never be suffered to act in anything that will bring guilt upon my conscience or dishonor his holy name. It is my heart's desire that I may have grace communicated to my poor soul, that I may glorify him in body, soul, and spirit. For this I am confident of, from day to day, that without him I can do nothing, and bless his dear name I have times when I can triumphantly say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When I returned home and told the brethren of the good hand of our God that had gone before and opened the door, it was truly a time of thanksgiving and joy. Our hearts were melted down together to see the goodness of our God to such worthless wretches, and I believe in my very heart that neither minister nor people wanted to rob God of his glory. We could unite with one heart and soul, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy truth and thy mercy's sake. We had truly a reviving time indeed, to see how the Lord had gone before us in the way, and brought our debt down to about £300, and the dear Lord continued to give testimony to the word of his grace, which quite astonished my poor soul, knowing what a poor, helpless, ignorant, foolish, worthless, base, despised thing I am. Hundreds of times has the poet fitted my soul well. He calls the fool and makes him know the mysteries of his grace, to bring aspiring wisdom low and all its pride abase. And how many times have these words melted my very soul, and he took a child and set him by him. O my dear Lord, my very soul has cried again and again, take the little child and set him by thyself. Don't leave me one moment to myself, for two are better than one. For if I fall, thou art not there, I have no other to help me up. I went on for some time very comfortably, but by and by the Lord began to try me sorely in withdrawing the light of his countenance from me. Oh, the dreadful state of darkness, confusion, misery, and wretchedness that I was in for 6 or 7 weeks. I verily thought the Lord was about to make it manifest that I was nothing but a hypocrite, and would be proved after all my profession to be an apostate. Oh, how I trembled when I went into the pulpit, and sometimes feared some awful judgment would befall me for my hard presumption in attempting to open my mouth in the name of the Lord. I could not believe that I could be blessed to one soul, and here I was, week after week, not with not one grain of religion, but what made me miserable, and I found afterwards that this was more than thousands of empty professors ever had. I felt fully persuaded that the people were sick and tired of hearing such an ignorant fool, and surely would leave one after another, for I could not see how it could be possible that they could bear with me long. For Sunday after Sunday I could bring nothing but gloomy tidings, setting forth what devilish wretches we were, and the long forbearance of God towards us. But instead of the congregation dwindling away, it appeared to increase, which astonished me, and I wondered again and again how it could be that they could bear with such a confused fool. Oh, the days and nights that I passed through of misery and wretchedness! I cried, I groaned, I wept and sighed, but could not believe that either my sighs or groans were regarded of God, and my very soul felt a little of what the prophet Jeremiah exclaims, "Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones, he hath builded against me, and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked." Lamentations 3, verses 3 through 8. And I am as confident of it as I was of my own existence, that nothing short of himself, made known in my soul again as my God, could make these crooked things straight. I know and am a living witness that what Job saith is truth. Job 11, verse 10, "If he cut off or shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him?" And David, the man after God's own heart, proved the same when he cried, "I am shut up and cannot come forth." No, there is no coming forth till God's time. "Ye shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for I, the Lord, will go before you, and bring up the rearward. Bless the Lord, such seasons as these, though they are so cutting to flesh and blood, are valuable lessons, not designed to destroy us, but to purify us, and to strip us from all our idols, to bring down the cursed pride of our nature, and let us see that the Lord can do as well without us as with us. Oh, how sick I was of myself, how I hated myself. Nay, my very shadow was a stench to my feelings. At last I entirely gave it all up, and felt determined I would never attempt to preach again, for I could neither read nor pray nor believe nor hope nor love. Nay, I verily believed I must be twice dead, and plucked up by the roots. Oh, what a devil I was in my own eyes! A large congregation was no comfort to me. It afforded me no encouragement to hear the dear children of God tell me that the Lord was blessing the word. I was afraid that I was preaching to others and should be myself cast away at last. I wanted God, the Holy Ghost, to bear witness with my spirit once again that I was Christ and that He was mine. Oh, how my poor soul whispered again and again, "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. O remember me with the favor which thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. O bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name." This was my cry night and day, and, bless his dear name, the sighing of the poor prisoner came up before him, and in his own time he manifested it to the joy of my poor soul. Oh, how sweetly, powerfully, and gloriously did he enter into my poor, cast-down soul with these words, "For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him." Oh, what a lift was this to my soul. It lifted me from off the dunghill and set me against princes, and my very soul could shout, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise, and when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Yea, I could sing, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Oh, what a blessed time of peace and joy I had in viewing the sovereignty, the power, the wisdom, the mercy, the goodness, the majesty and glory of a covenant God, in stripping me and clothing me, in emptying me and filling me, in wounding me and healing me, in shutting me up and bringing me forth. Bless the Lord. It is in these things that my soul lives, and in these things is the life of my spirit. It is in and out. And where the sweet pastures of electing love, mercy, and grace are sweet and relishing to the souls of the poor sheep of Christ. Oh, how my poor soul blessed, praised, and thanked him for the trial I had passed through. I saw there was a needs before it, and how sweet was the apostle's language. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Hebrews 12, verse 11. Oh, the preciousness of proving the dear truth of our God by heartfelt experience. Surely we can say with confidence, Thy words were found and I did eat them. Thy words were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And we are confident David spoke truth when he said, How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. But our God has fixed it, and it can never be overturned, that night and day, sorrow and joy, prosperity and adversity are inseparably linked together. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so have I ever found it. But bless God, victory is sure and certain. Let the devil and unbelief say what they will. And to this day, I have proved that not one good thing has failed of all that ever he has promised. They have all come to pass in the right way, by the right means, and at the right time. Truly, he is too wise to err, and too good to be unkind.